Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 tonight with Alan and Hugh. On tonight's program, we chat with Otto Fong, a former science teacher from Singapore who had a very unique way of teaching science to his students. He is an accomplished cartoonist and used his cartooning skills to not only teach in the classroom, but also to add interest to the educational books he has published. But in September 2007, things changed for Otto because he outed himself via his internet blog. This created a furor in Singapore that ultimately led to him leaving the teaching profession and to take up cartooning full-time. So we have another interesting discussion coming up tonight here on Orange Ribbon, so please stay with us for the next hour here on Joy 94.9. Super Junior, the group from Seoul in South Korea, and that's from an album, or from their album, which is uniquely called Second Album, and it's a track called Disco Drive. This is Orange Ribbon. You're with Alan and Hugh tonight. Hello, Hugh.
Hey, Alan. How are you?
Not too badly. We've got a very fascinating discussion coming up tonight, and I'd like to welcome to the program, all the way from Singapore, Otto Fong. Are you there, Otto?
Hi. Yeah, I'm here.
Yes. Hi, Otto.
Hi, Hugh.
Now, Otto, you've got a rather fascinating story, and I guess it all came to a head in September last year, which we'll come to a little bit later. But let's start out at the beginning, I suppose, with your childhood and family. What sort of a family did you grow up in, and did you have any siblings?
Yeah, I have a brother. I have a sister. I am the second child of a small family. I was born in Singapore, and because of my dad and my mom working in Malaysia, and my dad is a Malaysian, so we live across the causeway from Singapore,
in JB.
Which is in Malaysia.
In JB.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so your fascination with science, was that indoctrinated in to you from your parents, or did that come naturally?
It is quite a few things. I guess it comes naturally. Of course, in Singapore at that time, science is always encouraged over art. I think that is part of the national policy. But personally, I've always loved science, and I remember when I was in a secondary school, I have a classmate from Taiwan. And he and I, during science lesson, would start scribbling on our science textbooks, Spider-Man's. He was the one who got it started. So Spider-Man would go through all sorts of ridiculous misadventures with science knowledge. For example, he would be dunked in acid. And then after we finished scribbling, we'd be like giggling while the class is still going on. And then after it, showing off to all our friends.
Did your parents... did they sort of push you towards science, or?
They try to push me in areas where I have shown some abilities, lah. Unfortunately, because I was generally a good student, so I was strong in just about every subject that was in school. I was particularly strong in art because I started drawing when I was 2 years old.
Okay.
So they put me in the art club.
Were your parents into art?
My parents, no, they're not. My dad was into politics because he was involved in Singapore politics in a big way. He was involved in the trade union. My mom was just, you know, at that time, a very capable woman stuck in a housewife job.
Mm.
So both of them are more concerned with making a living and making sure that the three of us get our education, including a university degree, because that was something that my mom never got.
Now the fact that your parents were involved in politics, I guess, is interesting from the point of view of the next question I'm going to throw at you, because I believe that you came out to your parents when you were about 17.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, that must have been an interesting environment to come out in, because I think your father's advice to you was to keep it quiet.
I think it doesn't really matter what my parents dabble in. If a child would come out to their parents at that age, at that time in history in Southeast Asia, any parent's advice would be the same. The fact that my dad was in politics and went to jail before could have spurred him to ask me to lay low, especially with regards to my sexuality.
Was it hard, Otto, to keep quiet? Did you want to, once you told your parents, did you want to go and tell all your friends and everybody?
I came out, I was able to come out when I was studying in the States. At that time, I was still in the closet when I first flew to Oklahoma in, 1980, I don't know, 84. I was still in the closet, and at one night, during a fraternity party, I got drunk. And that was when I started blurting out that, you know, I'm gay and I'm in love with somebody in the party and all that. So I basically had to deal with it in a very explosive fashion then.
So what was the reaction when you got drunk and decided to tell everyone you were gay?
With the American friends around me, they were pretty okay because, you know, basically I was just a foreigner and behaving a little weird a lot of times because I was in the closet all the time. Mm. So I suspect that probably answered a lot of questions that they had when, you know, when I first joined them. Mm. So they're okay with it. I think it was a bit more problematic for my housemates, two Singaporeans who have to deal with it.
So, very quickly then, you subsequently returned to Singapore, so presumably that meant you had to go back into the closet again.
Well, I after my university education and I went back to Singapore, on the day that I was scheduled to fly, I was actually crying because I realized that, you know, I have only started to explore my sexuality in during holidays in San Francisco and New York. And I wasn't ready to stop there. What I know about Singapore at that time, before I returned, was that, you know, I basically have to be alone again. So I was really upset about that.
Can imagine. Okay, we'll take a little break and we'll come back and we'll chat further with Otto in the moment. Our special guest on the program tonight is Otto Fong in Singapore.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
A little bit of Cuba, and that's a track called Africando, and it's from an album, De Draca a Cuba, on Dance La Rumba. This is Orange Ribbon. You're with Hugh and Alan, and our guest on the program tonight is Otto Fong from Singapore. Otto, now you returned to Singapore. What were your initial career ambitions?
When I returned to Singapore, I have to fulfill my obligation with the National Service, which is to go into the army for 2.5 years.
Yes, know all about that. My partner did all of that.
Sorry?
I know all about that. My partner had to do that. In fact, he did 5 years in the Singaporean service.
Yeah, that's pretty long. Mine was 2.5 years. So after that, I immediately went into engineering because that's what I had a degree in, electrical engineering. So I was working in a disk drive company as an engineer.
Very strange. Guess where my partner was working, in a disk drive company in engineering.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, we won't go there. So somewhere along the line, you ended up in China. Was this in Singapore you were working initially, or in China? And where did the China thing fit in?
Well, after my engineering degree, I sort of have a change of heart because I felt that I wasn't addressing the artistic side of me. I always thought I loved movies, and I thought I would want to be in films, as in working behind the scene. So I saved up enough while I was working as an engineer, and in about 2 years plus, I went to Beijing, China to study film. But during that time, I actually came to the conclusion that the only part of film that I really, really love is actually drawing the storyboards, which translate back to drawing comics.
Otto, you said you were very unhappy when you had to go back to Singapore,
mm-hmm.
Because you were giving up your gay life in America.
Well, it wasn't much of a gay life, but it's a start.
Yeah, but you were still a little bit unhappy. How was it in China?
Well, in China, by then, I've had several years of mingling with gay Singaporeans. So I was okay with that. And also in China, there wasn't so much of a stigma against homosexuality. It's more like something that people do on the side and nobody talk about. It's actually quite easy for me to hook up with Chinese gays in Beijing. There's actually a very vibrant gay life there at that time.
So you're actually saying that China, the gay life in China, is much easier and open than it is in Singapore?
I think in Singapore we were a British colony before that, so I think that affected the people's attitude towards homosexuality more so than in China.
Right. So you come back to the British rule and how they started all these laws.
Yes, because in British rule there is a law that is
377A,
which prohibits gay sex.
And India has that as well, still trying to get rid of it as well.
Well, good luck to them.
Were you involved in there was an action in Singapore, I think it was last year, wasn't it? I can't remember, early this year, to try to have that change, 377A. Were you involved actively in that at all?
No, I wasn't. It was more. It just happened after I came out, and I thought the controversy would have died down. But suddenly, this 377A movement to remove it came up. But I did print out a form and move around my office to get my colleagues then to sign the petition.
Now, teaching, you ended up teaching science.
Yes.
How did that come about then?
Well, after my stint in China, I came back to Singapore during the economic crisis of 1997. At that time, I started working as a video editor. After 1 year, I decided that editing videos on commercials, especially makeup commercials and bad karaoke, is really not what I want to do with my life. I was looking for something useful and meaningful that I could feel that I'm contributing. Teaching was one of the options. So when I signed on for teaching, I thought it was a good idea, and it probably still is.
And how did the cartooning come about in terms of your teaching? Did that start from the very beginning, or did that develop later?
It happened at the same time. On the year that I joined teaching, I also participated in this comic drawing competition in Singapore, of which I basically won awards for all five of my entry, including the top first and the third prize. So both of these things, the teaching and the comic drawing, happened concurrently. But I really got to include my comic drawing into my teaching because of my first batch of student. They were born in the year of the rabbit, and I was not very experienced as a new teacher. And comic drawing is my way of getting close to my student, and I draw them as cute little bunnies.
What was the reaction to you teaching with cartoons? If I was at school and the teacher had cartoons up there and teaching me science, I'd think, oh, this is a bit silly or odd. Did anyone ever react to you like that?
Actually, no, because I remember when I was studying as a student, cartoons amuses me, it makes me laugh, it makes me remember concepts well. So I was basically doing doing to my student what I, from the point of view of a student myself, wanted, which is to see more comics on the board, rather than just the dry teaching and just talking about concepts and theories without it having come with a story.
How about the other teachers? How did they react to it?
The good thing is, because this is basically the top secondary school in Singapore, all the teachers have their own specialty and they have their own strength. They're just happy that, you know, I found a method to reach out to my students, a unique method, and I found my place in within the teaching community in that school.
So, how long were you? We'll come to the events of September after the next break. But how long were you teaching prior to the events of last year?
I have been teaching for 8 years already.
8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll come back and we'll talk about September 2007. This is Orange Ribbon. You're with Alan and Hugh. And our guest on the program tonight is Otto Fong in Singapore.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au. Or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
A little bit of Sahara, and that's a track by Hashna El Basharia, and a track called Hakmat Lakda. It's from another one of Putumayo catalogue CDs. Orange Ribbon with Hugh and Alan.
Declare it in December. There are prizes up for grabs, Alan.
There are.
Five lucky new or renewing members could win an iPod Nanos, thanks to mymac.com.au. And the music sounds better with your CD pack, thanks to BMG. So become a member or renew your membership in December, and you could be one of the five people who won these wonderful prizes.
Orange Ruin with Hugh and Alan, and our guest on the program tonight is Otto Fong from Singapore. Otto, now leading up to September last year, firstly, before we get to that particular event, were you out at all to any of your teaching fraternity prior to September last year?
No, I sort of know who could be gay in the staff room, but we don't talk about it because we felt that it is something that should be kept under the rug.
Okay. Now, you outed yourself via your blog. Was that intentional, or what led up to that, and why did you do it, and what were you expecting as a result?
Quite a lot of things happened in 2007 before September to motivate me to come out. One of it is when I attended this talk organized by a gay group, and it involved ex-students. So as a teacher, I was interested in what they had to say. I went there, and they were talking about how come they got so little guidance when they were in school. That had a resonance with me because I've always felt so lonely in school as a student. And here I am as a teacher, a gay teacher, not doing anything about my gay students. So I felt that I'm not doing my job. And that's one of them. The other one is when our minister mentor, Mr. Lee Kuan Yew, actually said something positive about gay people in April. He said that if it is biological and he's spoken to all his scientific advisors, then it shouldn't be an issue at all. So, and quite a lot of other things happened, and so I decided that, yes, I should do something about it. I'm tired of being in the closet. I'm bored being in the closet. I'm not happy in the closet. Everything's predictable. So I decided to come out to my colleagues. And I chose a blog because, you know, a blog allows the people the luxury of clicking on a link rather than, you know, I just announce it by an email.
What was the reaction at school?
Well, I sent it out the link to all my staff, all the staff in school over the weekend. So I wasn't expecting much reaction over the weekend because very few people checked their emails then. But I did get quite a lot of email returning and saying that they are okay with me being gay. But when I checked the blog over the weekend, the views started to rise, and after it hit about 10,000, I was I sort of know that obviously there's not so many staff in school.
So basically all your students
have gotten wind of it.
So yeah. All your students basically were reading this at the school.
The surprising thing about a blog is, well, I only learned how to blog in 2 months before September, in July. And I put up my comics on a blog. And it took a lot of telling the students and showing them the links and showing them the blog before you can get any views. So I figured that a blog is something that is like a pin in the ocean. So I started when I started the gay blog, I wasn't really expecting anyone to actually see it. Although I was mentally prepared that if anyone see it, I don't care.
Did you get any negative feedback from any of the students?
So here's the thing. The students who are supportive have taken it upon themselves to tell the whole class that if they give me any trouble, those who have negative opinions about gays give me any trouble, that they will have to answer to the students themselves.
That's very good of them.
So it's really powerful. I mean, we're talking about secondary school students, you know, those teens. Mm. And I was very touched by that. So I was quite insulated from a lot of negative remarks. Also, I think Singaporeans have a way of, we've been trained from young not to say, negative things. Because we live in a multiracial, multi-religious society, so we tend not to, speak negative remarks. We tend to be very mindful of that. At least not in my face.
Now, you ended up taking your blog down again. Was that under your own control, or were you really forced to have to take it down?
My headmaster spoke to me about the blog. His reasoning is that since, obviously the entire staff has known and my original intention is for my colleagues to know, then I've already achieved my purpose. So he asked me if I can take it down. I thought about it and it makes a lot of sense. And besides, I was still a teacher at that time to the school. So which means I have a responsibility to listen to my headmaster just as I expect my students to listen to me as a teacher. So when he made that suggestion, I figured it's all right. Besides, the good thing about a blog is once it's out there, you can't really bury it. And I know by then, a lot of people have already copied it and put it up on other places.
Did the government react to your blog?
Yeah, on that Monday, I believe the Ministry of Education actually had a top-level meeting about this issue. But what is the content of the meeting, I do not know. However, ultimately, they decided that because this is a top school for leaders, they would leave it up to the discretion of the school to decide what to do with me.
Did you at any time during that period feel like your father's words of some years before, keep it quiet, perhaps might have been worthwhile taking note of? Or was there a feeling of exhilaration that you'd finally done it?
It was all exhilaration. I was feeling like suddenly the whole world is different because I'm getting feedback that I never dreamed I would get. I'm getting support that I never dreamed I would get. Singaporeans from all walks of life are emailing and the schools, emailing the government about this issue. And a lot of support was there. And I felt like these people I've never seen or never know existed in my life living amongst me. So to me, it was like living in an entirely different world. So, and I prefer this world to the one that when I was in the closet.
This is Orange Ribbon. You're with Hugh and Alan. Our guest on the program tonight is Otto Fong. We'll be back in a moment to continue our discussion with Otto.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au or, if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
A little bit of Jamaica there, a track called Toots and Maytals. A track by Toots and Maytals with a very familiar voice that's included in that one. Even though it's a little bit of Jamaica, you should have recognised Willie Nelson in the background.
Really?
There.
Oh, there you go.
This is Orange Ribbon with Alan and Hugh, and our guest on the program tonight is Otto Fong. Otto, did you, at the time that all of this blew up, in September last year, did you at that stage see that your career was over, or in terms of teaching, or did you at that point still hope to keep on teaching?
I think after about 1 or 2 months later, our Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong gave a speech in Parliament about 377A. I think he did mention me, and he says that I am allowed to stay in my job. So I know at that point that I'm pretty much safe to stay in school and continue teaching.
That must have made you very famous, the Prime Minister mentioned you in Parliament.
Well, I mean, it's a gay issue, so it doesn't really appear in the papers in a big way. So I'm not sure about the fame part, lah.
So are you saying that what he said in Parliament was censored?
No. I'm quite sure it is included in the reports. However, parliamentary speeches are not read by many people, I think.
Okay.
So when you subsequently have left teaching, step us through the processes, the thought processes that you went through that ultimately led to you leaving teaching.
It was very strange. I've been thinking about, in fact, every year, whenever I get angry at my student, right, I would tell them that I'm leaving. This is my last year. And I don't know why I say that, but that year, after I came out, several things. The first one is that I told myself that, wait a minute, I've been telling my student every year to go after their dream, to chase whatever that they want, and don't be afraid. And here I am staying in one place and not chasing after my dream of drawing comics. So I'm not really setting a very good example. After I came out, right, I actually felt bold enough that, you know, I am free enough that I've removed this big barrier in my creativity. So I actually believe that, you know, after that, I can grow freely in terms of creating comics. So I actually feel bolder to leave the teaching profession, even though at that time I have no idea if I'm going to be able to survive.
How did your parents take all this?
My parents were still reeling from the aftershock of me coming out publicly and not telling them on the day. They actually found out from an old friend who read a paper.
Okay.
So they were not very clear on how to advise me. But overall, when they calmed down, they were still very supportive of me.
Because at 17, when you came out to your mum and dad, your dad said, keep it a secret.
Yes.
So were these words ringing in your ears as you were telling everyone and
Yes. Actually, I was. It was good. It was good advice at that time, because during that time, before more information, and I have to thank science for it, because with more scientific information about what being gay is about, it actually drowns out the voices of being gay, being unnatural, being wrong, being morally whatever, those kind of thing. I lost my train of thought. What was your question?
Let me ask you another question, Otto.
Okay.
Have you ever considered leaving Singapore and going to another country, for example, like Australia or somewhere like that, where you could probably carry on teaching, do your cartooning, and be gay?
Oh, yes. I actually have considered leaving. And at one point, I have convinced myself that, you know, there's nothing worth staying back in Singapore for. But after I came out, and all my friends, and I haven't lost a single friend, all my friends, including those that I've been so out of touch, were actually telling me it's all right. You know, some of them already suspected long ago, and they are all supportive of me. And suddenly, I got very close to them, and they were sharing with me their personal life, as I am now sharing with them my personal life. And I feel much closer to Singaporeans, and I felt that I know more about the friends that I have for all these years. So when you ask me about whether the my dad's advice reverberated, yes, it did. It worked at that time, but in this day and age, it's no longer working.
Now,
and I have to make my own decisions.
Now, you've now moved into cartooning full-time, if you like. How has that evolved over the last year?
Oh, it has been fantastic. After I quit, I settled down to do my, at that time, is my fourth book. And I decided at that time that, you know, I have learned enough, and I publish it myself. I choose the font, I choose the layout, I chose even the paper myself. so that I could have more control of the overall look and feel and the quality of the book. So it was put out in June during a toy and comic convention in Singapore, and it happens to be the first toy and comic convention in Singapore, and it happens to be a very successful one. And I sold quite a lot of books. I was like signing books all the way from the morning to the evening when it closes. So basically I sold out all the stocks that I have at that time. And my books are doing quite well in Singapore, especially in the libraries where the people are borrowing and all that. So I'm quite happy. Another thing is actually this month I have a comic in an anthology out by the publisher of Spawn, Todd McFarlane. And it is the first time in history that Southeast Asian comic artists are featured in an anthology by an American company. So yes, so far it's been fantastic. I've been actually making my dreams come true.
Do you think that all the exposure you had because of your blog and the Prime Minister and Parliament and everything else, do you think that helped? Or did it work against you slightly at the beginning?
The way I see it is there's going to be people who will be very supportive of me. There's going to be people who are going to hate me. And the glass is always half full or half empty. It really depends on how you see things. Mm. But personally, I'd rather live on the seeing that the glass is half full side. And I'm very happy seeing that, I have half a cup of drink.
So are you happy now just doing cartoons? Or do you see yourself going back to teaching?
I am working so hard every day on comic drawing. I've been working longer hours than I have as a teacher. But every time I sit there in front of a finished drawing, right, I am so happy that, I never thought that this could happen to me. And so I am going to continue drawing. But as to teaching, I always believe that a good teacher would have new life experiences to share. And up to the point where I came out, at that point, I felt that I've already given everything I had up to that point to my students, including coming out.
Have you thought about actually teaching?
So I felt that, if I go back to teaching, it will be quite a while before I can collect more new life experience so that when I teach, I actually have something unique to share.
Otto, have you ever thought about actually teaching cartoons?
I am teaching cartoons. So basically this whole year I've been giving workshops, sharing with Singaporeans the importance of comic in all fields.
Right. Now tell us a little about, in August, you had Singapore's Indignation Begins on, it was on the August the 1st. Tell us a little bit about that. The pink picnic, for example.
Oh, okay. The Pink Picnic was started last year. The gay groups organized a Pink Picnic and asked for permission from the Botanic Gardens for this event. But because people got wind that it's a gay event, they complained. And of course, Botanic Garden withdrew the permission. But gay people everywhere decided that they're going to show up anyway. So a lot of people went with pink t-shirts, and basically the whole Botanic Garden is full of gay people, and it's very successful. So this year they did it again, but there was no opposition. Basically, people have seen that nobody's causing any trouble. It's just a bunch of people in pink shirts moving around, having fun and chatting.
Now, we're getting close to running out of time, Otto, but just quickly, you were also appeared on TV in Singapore on Channel News Asia, only a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. Very briefly, what was that all about?
They wanted to do a program about sex education in Singapore, which at this moment in school. And at this moment, there was very little concerted effort to teach teenagers about safe sex. So they wanted to do a piece about that, and they asked me if I would show up because I was a teacher. So yes, we did address the issue of having safe anal and oral sex, and I think that's very positive to bring that awareness out to the young people.
Is this a big event for Singapore to actually talk about this in public?
I think the more significant event is that after it came out, there was no complaints in the papers. I think that is definitely a sign of progress.
It's a sign of progress, la.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Okay. Now, you still maintain your blog. Do you mind if we let people know your blog?
Please do. do?
It is Sirfong, S-I-R-F-O-N-G dot blogspot.com, sirfong.blogspot.com. We're starting to run out of time, Otto, so we have to thank you very much for taking the time out for the last 45 minutes or so, having a chat to us. Very much appreciate it, and thank you very much for taking the time.
Nice speaking
to you,
Otto.
Interview.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.